Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
For those of you who are new to St. Mary's this week, the music that you hear downstairs is our joy mass. So don't think that you're hearing things when you're hearing echoes of music coming up from downstairs. I just heard Anne saying, wow, that's a difficult lesson to preach on today. And she's absolutely right, which is why we're going to focus on the Old Testament. I've always loved the story of Hagar. And I think one of the reasons that I love it so much is because the grace of tears as a holy connection to God features so prominently in her story. Ever since I was a little girl, I have cried often and easily. I cry all the time. I'm going to tell you some of the times that I've cried recently, and don't be alarmed. This is very normal for me. don't think that you need to call a psychiatrist. I was reflecting just this week when I was watching Call the Midwives. I cry every single episode of Call the Midwives, whether it's tears of joy at the beauty of a new life coming into the world and the miracle that that is, or the heartache of the poverty and the extremely difficult conditions that so many people continue to live in all over the world, or of course when Chummy almost died in childbirth, I was absolutely a mess sobbing at that possibility. But I cried this week with little Charlie, snuggling him in bed at night as he was having his last day of kindergarten. He was so sad that I won't see my friends. Oh, summer. It was just so touchy. I cried earlier in the week at the bedside of a very new parishioner. He was only a parishioner for 2 weeks, who ended up dying. And seeing the beauty of his sons and son and daughter in their mid to late 20s and the love of his second wife was just so exquisite, even though I didn't know him very well, the tears streaming down my face as I said last rites with him. My children also cry a lot, as children are wont to do, and in talking with them recently about the different kinds of tears, Phoebe, our 15-year-old, almost 15-year-old, was reminding me of the time that one of our guinea pigs died. We love animals in my house, probably inordinately. But we had this guinea pig, and I noticed Gizzy was not moving around very much. So I picked her out of her cage, and we sat on the couch with her, and she actually died in my lap. And so I was teary, and the other children were teary, but Phoebe was bereft, and I know our parish nurse is going to freak out when I say this, but she scooped up the dead body of this guinea pig, threw it over her shoulder, and started wailing, oh, Gizzy. And as a mother, you're sitting there, and you're wanting to support the healthy release of tears while totally freaking out that your child is rubbing a dead guinea pig on her face. So it was really a very humbling moment. But tears have the ability to release within us a portal to the divine. So many times when we feel tears rising in us, it's because of some deep emotion, some deep experience, something that has exceeded our capacity to understand with our rational minds, and so it comes up within us in the form of tears. Now, Hagar, in our lesson from Genesis this morning, was no stranger to tears because of the kind of life that she lived at that time and also the particular relationships that she had. She was a slave woman who came into the household of Sarah and Abraham while they were traveling in Egypt during their first journeys. And so she had been with them for quite a while and knew that Sarah was distraught that she could not become pregnant. So she gave Hagar to Abraham and said, "Have a son with Hagar so that he would have an heir." But as soon as Hagar got pregnant, Sarah became so jealous that she made Hagar's life miserable. Miserable to the point that Hagar ran away into the desert. This is the first part of her story that we don't have in front of this morning, but there's a beautiful phrase in it that I've always loved. that in her despondency, in her tears and her sorrow, God sees her and responds to her, and she sees God. The mutuality of that relationship is so rich and so deep, born from a place of tears and sorrow. So the second time that we meet Hagar in the desert, we are meant to remember this time of comfort and solace where she saw God and God saw her. Did you all get one of these little cards when you came in? So this is a painting by Marc Chagall in his illustration. He has a whole series of lithographs from his favorite Bible stories. And I love this particular image of Hagar and Ishmael in the desert, because this is the time when Ishmael is now born, Isaac was born to Sarah, the boys enjoy playing with each other, and once again, Sarah becomes enraged and jealous, thinking about the fact that Ishmael may compete with her son for some of Abraham's birthright. So once again, Sarah is the cause of Hagar being driven out into the desert. She goes out with her young son, probably 5 or 6, with a little bit of food and water, and pretty quickly they both come to the point of extreme thirst and hunger. When you read this passage in the Hebrew, it's amazing the number of different ways that the verb cry out appears. It's sort of like the number of different words that there are for snow and ice in northern cultures. There are dozens of different words in Hebrew that express to cry, to weep, to wail, to implore. There's, you know, to cry drunkenly, to cry in grief, to throw oneself down in tears. So crying is meant to be one of those foundational human experiences that opens us to God. If you turn to the back of the card, you'll see that there, in verses 17 and 18, there are some beautiful, I believe, instructions for how we can relate to God during times of tears. Many of us, even if we do cry easily, try to stuff it down as quickly as we can to get ourselves back under control, to try to get the tears to stop because it feels so uncomfortable to be that out of control. But what this interaction with Hagar reminds us is that when we call out to God, when we wail, when we weep, when we turn our sorrowful hearts to God, God hears us. It might not always feel that God has heard you, especially when we're crying, our whole worlds can become contracted into a place where we don't experience anything else. And sometimes, I love Chagall's painting because you can see Hagar wrapped around Ishmael, imagining God wrapped around you in your time of sorrow. Or if there's a person in your life that when you're teary, you feel that you can get a hug from, to have God's love born into your life through an embrace. That's one way we know that God hears us. But Hagar is so bereft and so overwhelmed, she doesn't hear God initially, so God sends an angel to her. And the angel asks her, "What troubles you?" What an extraordinary question to be asked when you are in deep sorrow. Because sometimes the emotion arises from such a deep place in us, we don't even know what it is that troubles us. When I cry at Call the Midwives, a little bit's about the story because it's so evocative and so beautifully told, but so much else is grief that was not released in other times, in other places in my life. So what troubles you? If you have the courage to engage that question, to open your heart to God and to allow your tears to be a source of connection, then the next thing that we're told is that God opens her eyes to see the water that was near her. In her despondency, God hears her and wraps his arms around her in the form of an angel who asks her, "What troubles you?" And when she turns to him, her eyes are opened to the fact that there are so many blessings that are present around us, even in the times of our greatest fear and worry and hurt and anger, whatever it is that is giving rise to the tears. So my prayer for you all this week is that you allow the grace of tears to bless you abundantly in your life, that you reach out to friends or family or me if you need a human reminder that God is listening and hears, that you allow your eyes to be opened when you speak to God and tell him, what is it that troubles you? Because ultimately Hagar leaves abundantly blessed, living a new life, a new life with her son, full of joy and compassion and peace. And this is what God wants for you too. Amen.